Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Overnight American continues. One last hour here. It's 2:06 in St. Louis. And if you're from outside of the St. Louis region, this may mean little to you, but there's a story, and I keep seeing these photos taken online of all of these different bikes that have just been taken over the weekend. It is unbelievable, some of the photos I'm seeing. You know, what bright motorcycle rider thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my motorcycle or my ATV or whatever it is and go rip up the arch grounds. You know, the one they just spent $37 million on. Yeah, let's go rip up the arch grounds. You kidding me? Luckily, there's been some arrest, and there absolutely should be arrest for something like this. But large groups of stunt motorcyclists took over St. Louis roads in an event billed as the Ride of the Century. 16th annual event has caused some questions why it happens, as it seems to put people in danger as riders travel throughout the city. And I'm looking at pictures here, and like, here they are on 70. And I saw this posted on Reddit because a lot of people are talking about it. And they are doing like wheelies and things. I'm surprised no one killed themselves, as stupid as they're hot dogging around on the roads. And I've seen the videos. I think even Fox 2 posted a video where they're doing donuts outside the Cardinals game. And they're saying, you know, people are trying to leave the game. They're with their families. They're with their kids. And these idiots doing donuts and hitting cars and burning out and just stopping traffic. And these kids are getting scared. And the people around there are like, is this what I expect when I go to downtown St. Louis? A bunch of motorcycle gangs doing donuts in the middle of a road. It was so stupid, some of the things I've seen, at least online. I didn't witness it personally. Luckily, I wasn't around downtown this weekend. Clown parade, some people are describing it. And I'm looking at some of the Saturday afternoon clown parade. So I'm looking at what some people are describing it as. Like, here's a video some guy posted online. They're at the arch grounds. And it's the guys are there in their motorcycles, and they're just like circling the arch. Man, all the money they spent on this to make it look nice. And they bring all these visitors in. All you want to do is go down and enjoy that national park. Luckily, people were arrested. Cell phone video keep posting up online. And this is right at dawn. I mean, or dusk, I should say. It's just about to get dark. Ride of the century. And even in this article on KMOV, it says that Ronald Duckworth was involved in a crash. Says he saw an officer, so he took off onto this exit path and tried to squeeze between me and the booth before he got stopped, said Duckworth. Channel 4 was on the scene when the crash occurred and attempted to talk to the rider. He declined comment. Rider is in custody. Yeah, so they think they're going to get caught. So they're like, yeah, I'm just going to squeeze between some cars and things, try to get out of here. You know, the organizers, there's some people that they quoted in here and says, you know, well, I haven't seen any tickets this year, so apparently everyone's a law-abiding citizen. Not from what I've seen. I'm pretty sure that's not kosher. And even one of the videos I watched, this guy gets out of his car, I'm assuming because the person was doing donuts, was hitting the car. I saw one guy in an RV. He was driving, and this person's doing donuts, bumping into the side of his RV. He gets out, and the guy's not paying attention. He comes up, and he doesn't push the guy, but he wanted to make sure the guy knew he was there, so he puts his arm on his shoulder, and it's pretty forceful. And he's like, yeah, what are you doing? Like, you can't hear anything, you can't see anything, but you can see the mannerisms. The guy was very upset. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that at all. I'm surprised this was a car. There's another story on KMOV. Teenage driver, permit, crashed into a gas station in Arnold on Saturday night. Shell gas station on Richardson. The driver was parked in front of the station. Driver believed that the car's gear shift to drive, but actually set it in reverse, crashing into the start of the station. What a terrible story. You have your learner's permit. You're probably out there with your parent, and they're already on pins and needles. They don't want to be in the car while you're driving. They're very nervous, like, oh, I know I love you, but I just, this is difficult. This is hard. Okay, we'll go to the gas station. We'll go pick up something. And there's that car backed right into that gas station. No one was hurt, luckily, although the attendant said people were a bit startled. The gas station's still open. We'll receive a new door later today. Yeah, that happens. You know, when you get those permitted teens, it's not easy. You know, they don't know what they're doing. And the parents, it's very difficult for you to give control. I'd rather take a permit driver who is very unsure of their actions, doesn't have any confidence, over the crazy bikers videos that I've been seeing online. More and more confrontations continue to pop up, and people have been posting the videos online too. Like, here's this guy. There's a bunch of bikers that are, looks like they're on Gratiot. And there they are trying to burn out, and it's just a bunch of Cardinals fans trying to get to the game. They're packs of Cardinals fans. They're all wearing their red shirts. And you see, like, dads with their kids picking them up and carrying them because they're afraid that these bikers aren't going to be paying attention. They're going to accidentally hit one of the kids. And, of course, all the bikers forget about what the traffic laws are. They're just disobeying them because, hey, you know, it's almost like a funeral procession at that point. And here's this guy on his bike, and this woman's getting out yelling at him. And that is probably a common occurrence over and over and over again. You know, bikers don't necessarily bring out the best in pedestrians or drivers to begin with. So then you add on top of that bikers that were being, you know, hot dogging, being some punks out on the road, and then purposely trying to engage in a negative or a violent way with drivers. You know, that's not a good combination. You can see some of those online if you just do a quick search. Even KMOV is where I'm getting that article from. You can see a couple of them on there too. All right, there was one story. You want to talk about drivers? An Indiana bus driver arrested. Arrested. What could a bus driver possibly do to get arrested? We'll find out next on Overnight America KMOX. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about Kavanaugh the first couple of hours. If you wanted to go back and listen to that, you can. We post all of our shows for free at KMOX.com. And if you want to make it easy on yourself, just subscribe, and that way you have a quick little link to the show anytime you want to listen to it. Or if you don't know, if you have an app on your phone for podcasts, just download the radio.com app for free, and then you could listen to this radio program for free. Just search for Overnight America on there. Better yet, if you got an iPhone, go into your podcast app and give us 5 stars. Yeah. See, that's me soliciting. I do that. I tend to do that. I'm still trying to get up to 25-star ratings. We're just 3 away, so if there's 3 people with iPhones tonight, if you just go on your iPhone in the podcast app and give us a 5-star positive review for Overnight America, we can get up to that 20 rating. And I really do think that makes a difference for people that try to discover this podcast. I really do believe that. Let's go to a story from ABC. Indiana bus driver arrested for allowing students to drive the bus. Bunch of backseat driver, she's 27 years old, was arrested and charged with felony neglect of a dependent, and rightfully so. Here's Good Morning America reporting this one.
It's all good, it's all good. I'm letting her stop and Michael stop.
That's not what you want to hear from the bus driver that is riding your kids around. So according to police, 3 students, 11, 13, and 17, had a chance to drive the bus. She let an 11-year-old drive the bus.
That is a child behind the wheel of a school bus.
No.
The viral video allegedly shows the actual bus driver coaching the kid with other students on board.
Oh, my.
First, we gotta do, put your foot on the brake. There you go.
Authorities in Indiana say 27-year-old Joandrea McAtee allowed 3 students, ages 11, 13, and 17, to drive her bus in a rural area as they dropped kids off after school.
No, I don't care. I do not care if it was a rural area. Yeah, I need you to hop over the interstate over here, see if you can squeeze in between these 2 cars, and we can parallel park this bad boy just in time for you to get home before the cartoons, you 11-year-old girl, you. 11-year-old. Yikes. I have heard some really irresponsible things that adults will do, but in what way is this okay? Like, you have to, at 27 years old, if you can't recognize this as a bad idea, you've made some pretty bad life choices. You've had to have made some terrible life choices. And I'm not saying that bus drivers have it easy by any means, because they got to deal with these kids all the time. But man, why make it harder on yourself? Put an 11-year-old behind the wheel. Come on. Come on.
Police say a parent contacted the school's resource officer. The school district then investigated. When McAtee showed up at the Porter Township School's bus barn Thursday to pick up her check, police arrested her.
Ooh, they pulled one of those moves. You know, police every once in a while, they're sneaky like that, where they'll send an invite out. Hey, you want a free vacation package? Congratulations to you. Come to this travel agency to book it. Oh, lucky you. And then they show up. I want my free vacation. And then put them right in the handcuffs. Right in the handcuffs. I like the ones that, hey, you want a free boat? Because, you know, that's what they do. They give away free boats to random people all the time. That happens. And they show up. Yay, I won, I won, I won. And they got the cameras there. Yay, I won. Look, I'm so happy. Like she, like the person's on Price is Right. You know how that ends. Handcuffs. Shh. The bad boy theme playing in the background.
Charging her with neglect of a dependent. The school says in a statement, the Porter Township School Corporation is angered and disappointed in the actions of this driver. The safety of our students is a top priority.
Better be.
The bus company First Student adding, behavior such as this is completely unacceptable and totally at odds with what we stand for as a company. The driver has been terminated.
Oh, well, that goes without saying, right? Did they have to mention that? The driver terminated. Do you remember your first time behind the wheel of a car, what that was like? How would you like to have that story? Oh, yeah, actually, well, the first time I was driving was when I was on a school bus. I was 11 years old. The bus driver said, hey, do you want to take over? How would you like that to be your first driving experience? What was your first driving experience like? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. My very first time driving, I was in the car with my dad. We were driving to a friend's house. Really, really country roads. No one else out on them. And he pulls over to the side and he said, hey, you want to drive? It's the minivan. We're driving the Ford Aerostar. Like everyone had an Aerostar in Michigan. You couldn't go more than 5 feet without seeing a Jeep or an Aerostar. My dad's like, hey, you want to drive the car? I was probably about 13, something like that. Normally, every other kid would say, yeah. I said, no, that's okay. I don't want to do it. He's like, what? Are you sure? Come on, just drive the car. No, I'm okay. Okay. And then we left and that was it. Then he told his friend, hey, I told him Ryan could drive the car. And he said, no. He's like, you said no? Didn't make sense. But the first time I drove a car, I was taking lessons at Sears because, I don't know, I guess that was the thing to do is we're one of the closest places that were offering the driving lessons. So you took the classes and you sat down in a room and they had the guy go up there and the guy was like, you know, bored with life. He was going through the same thing over and over again and tried to be Mr. Cool Dude. Hey, I'm cool for all you teenagers, man. And he goes up there and he's talking his talk and he has this basically shtick down to a T. Down to a T. And you take these little quizzes at the end. And then finally you get your in-car experience where you go in there and there's like a bunch of other teenagers inside the car. So, you'll never see them ever again in the history of your life, but you're inside this car with them. And, okay, who wants to go first? I guess I'll go first. Okay. Go, put it in reverse. Oh, this is weird. I've never done this before. Oh, put it, do this way. Turn the keys. And they're like, okay, leave the parking lot. I'm like, oh, what do you mean leave the park? I thought we're going to practice in the parking lot a little bit. Maybe do some donuts, parallel parking, you know, do really cool. I brought my Mario Andretti gloves. Nope, you're leaving. And hop over here and stay the left lane because you're going to turn left onto the highway. Highway? You know, it's a Saturday or whatever, you're learning these things. So the traffic's not terrible on a Saturday morning, but it's definitely not light by any means. No, hop on the highway. And then you're white knuckling it like, I shouldn't be doing this. Pretty much the experience of every teen when you're given more responsibility than you think you can handle. But then most teens want to try something like that. You know who are totally prepared for that? The farm kids. You know, if they grew up on a farm, they've drove every type of imaginable vehicle. They got the combines, they got the four-wheelers. They got all kinds of stuff. They're like, no big deal. They can do that with their eyes closed. So, you know, I survived. Didn't hit anything. That was nice. Then other people did their thing, and you're sitting back. They're like, I shouldn't be sitting in this car when other people that don't know how to drive are driving on the highway. And then we went back, and that was it. And then eventually you took the test, and you got your learner's permit and did your thing. Yeah, those were the days. I just can't believe this bus driver. One last bit here from Good Morning America.
No one was injured during that bus trip, but guys, what a ride.
What a ride. Do you think the kids on the bus were yelling and screaming? They were all for it. Like, yeah, cool bus driver. And what's this 27-year-old going to do? Is she going to go tell her friends? Hey, guess what I did at work today? I let an 11-year-old drive my bus. So what do you think the reaction of the friends are? Oh, that's hilarious. Or do you think they said, are you nuts? Are you nuts? Don't like it. No way. Is this Jerome on the line? Jerome, what's going on?
Not much. I have a, I understand that Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly, both Detroit natives, I believe, such as yourself, mm-hmm. are having a quote-unquote rap feud.
Oh.
And, you know, two rich white guys slamming each other seems pretty lame. So I kind of would like to comment about it. I have a rap poem.
You want in on this. You know, actually, I have a new commission for you after this one, too.
Okay.
I want to hear this. Well. So this is Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly, two rappers that are bickering at each other. This is a rap poem, you said?
Yes.
Okay, I'd love to hear it.
It could go either way. Okay. Dear Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly, quit acting all sassy and jelly. Come and be a brother, and don't hate on one and the other. Nothing uglier, rich white dudes, sporting old grudges and attitudes. I can't help but mention the elephant in the room, how you're both irrelevant. Slim Shady is as controversial as a mustache young lady. And Kelly is as cold as meat in a deli. Why don't you both retire? I know it's what I desire. Thank you and goodbye.
Not bad. See, I don't know anything about Machine Gun Kelly. I know Eminem because he's been around long enough.
But I know enough about Machine Gun Kelly to know that he rapped at a WrestleMania and that he wears skinny jeans, and that is not cool.
Showed up to a WrestleMania?
Yeah, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. He sang and...
So
it's like, oh, wow, these guys get to be rich. The wrestlers attracted them there, and the wrestlers get nickels, and they get a lot of money. That seems fair.
So I have a commission for you for some new raps.
Okay.
So you've done one for Overnight America. You've done one for producer Mike. You still need to do one. No, excuse me. You did one for producer Ben. You need to do one for producer Mike, and you need to do one for myself. But before you do those two, I could use your help on something. So there's this game we've tried out and played called Would You Click It? Have you heard that game we've played on the air?
I have. My reception is horrible right now.
Okay, so Would You Click It? So this is the concept of the game. I read clickbait titles, and the contestant, whoever's on the line, has to be honest. It's the honor system. If they would have clicked that link to see what the payoff would have been. So the idea is... we either put two callers together or we do a caller versus whoever the producer is, and whoever clicked the least amount of links is the winner. What I need is a rap to play at the end of it to congratulate the winner of Would You Click It? And I'm hoping you could honor us by creating that rap that we can play at the end of the game.
Well, I will try, and I consider it an honor to be included in the festivities. And no, seriously, thank you very much for trying to include me in something like that. Thank you.
We thought it would be fun. So whoever the winner is, we'd play the rap right after in their honor. So you would almost be like addressing the rap to whoever that the winner is. And I don't think we need to play anything for the loser. We'll just celebrate who the winner is. But there's really no loser here by any means.
We'll just sing that one song. Na 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 na.
Goodbye. You can include that.
I had a FedEx poem, but it's very angry.
Did you ever get your thing?
I finally got it. I was so happy. I got the turnbuckle all on and everything all ready, and I was trying to mess with it, and my cat sat in it. They just were all clobbering it.
Wait, so what was the... So what happened? Was the box beat up and it was lost or something?
It was a little damaged. The box itself, but the products were perfectly fine. Apparently, it had been delivered to the wrong address, and I don't know why they... apparently they didn't open and keep it, but they didn't apparently say, hey, FedEx, I got somebody's stuff. Please come get it. I don't want it. Take to the rightful owner. At first I tried to be civil, but I wasn't real calm. And then the next day I just told them, I'm like, one of the things I said, the person stole it. Whoever got it accidentally, they can't help but deliver to them wrong. But at this point, they stole it because they didn't give it to me. And I finally got my stuff.
I see.
I think the whining helped quite a bit.
The whining always seems to do the job. That happened to me once where I had a package delivered to the wrong address. And luckily, they put my phone number on the mailing package. And the person called me and said, hey, I think someone delivered the wrong package. Here's where I live. Can you come pick it up? And I just did it. It was real nice of them.
That was nice. Yeah. If you had another person in the area had a similar address, and I actually went by the house, I left them a note, told them the situation, left my phone number. They never called whatsoever. I did say if this did occur, my package was expected and so forth, and they didn't call. So I got to kind of wonder if they're the one that got it, and they were kind of...
I see.
Because the edges were open, like busted, like taped yet. So I don't know if they kind of slid it and they said, oh, Christmas present for the grandchildren.
Oh, yeah, they're playing with your turnbuckle. All right, Jerome, good to hear from you. Thanks for the wrap. That was a good one.
Okay, and so I'm going to mic you, and would you click it?
Would you click it? So we want one directed to the winner of would you click it. Put that one first, if you could.
Oh, I will try. And the whole thing clicking is whoever would click the least.
Yeah, the winner is who was tempted the least to click the clickbait.
That's a challenge. I like challenges.
All right, Jerome. I love it. Thanks.
See you guys. See you later, alligator.
All right, bye. See you later, alligator. I'm going to look up the lyrics to that song because there's other lyrics to that song, and I don't know what they are. I've always wondered. See, Jerome just triggered something here. It's what happens late night on Overnight America, KMOX. Hey, our Six Flags made Fox News. It's kind of cool. I didn't see this earlier. Six Flags here in the St. Louis area holding a contest. They announced a competition inviting guests to stay in a tight coffin for 30 hours straight. Are you wearing a diaper? What do you do 30 hours straight? Can you bring your smartphone in there? Is there electronics? So it says that the Fright Fest 30-Hour Coffin Challenge will take place Saturday, October 13th, and reward those who make it through the night with more than just bragging rights. The prizes will include two 2019 Golden Season Passes, a Fright Fest prize package, two VIP Haunted House Passes, and tickets for two to ride the Freak Train for Freak Unleashed. The winner will also be entered in a drawing for a $300 prize. What do you mean entered into a drawing? That does not seem worth your time. 30 hours in a coffin. You get some season passes and a chance to win $300. Call me when there's something exciting you're giving out. So Six Flags will include six deluxe 2x7 slight used coffins, as well as meal, snacks, and drinks in bed, as well as 6-minute bathroom breaks every hour. Oh, so you're out of it for 6 minutes every hour? This seems like a fairly easy challenge. The coffin is also available to take home if the winner desires. So if you feel like you want to use it over again, like let's say you have someone in the family that you know maybe towards the end of their life, you're like, hey, guess what? I just got a free coffin. I'm going to guess it's kind of your typical haunted house style coffin. So it's not something that you would actually put up in a parlor. So the competitors are allowed to bring a friend during the operating hours, but once the park closes, coffin dwellers must go it alone. Six Flags assures that it won't be completely alone. There'll be things lurking in the night. Ooh, what a interesting thing. If the prize was a little bit higher, I'd be all for that. Whatever happened to that sick hotel idea? The person said, we're going to infect everyone with the flu and see what happens. Like, there's going to take over, like, a floor in a hotel, and they're going to give you a couple grand to do it. There's, like, a ton of people that signed up for that sort of thing. I was like, yeah, sign me up. Hook me up with the flu. Let's do this. So they're going to provide all of these things. This is the first I've heard of this, but it's kind of fun to read it up on Fox News. Hey, how about that? We made the travel section of Fox News. Of all the things that St. Louis could be known for, let's get them known for the coffin experience here. But they got people talking about it. You know, there's a couple of... space stories. I love space stories. And I posted this earlier. There hasn't been a lot of alien. Like, there was that one New Mexico observatory that got mysteriously shut down. But outside of that, there really hasn't been much on the alien or ghost type of stories that I see hit the news wires as of late. But there is a really good space one that's on its way. So a Japanese spacecraft just threw two small rovers at an asteroid. It's from the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency, JAXA. JAXA? Did you say it maybe? So they found an asteroid that it's thought to be remnants of our early solar system remaining relatively unchanged over the last 4.5 billion years. They provide a good snapshot of what our cosmic neighborhood was like when the planets were first forming. Studying just a small sample of the asteroid gives scientists a lot of precious information about how our planetary system came to be. This is something a lot of countries have experimented with. Even here in the United States, we've sent different rovers to go land on moving comets because we can and we will, because why not? And it worked. It worked. So in this case with Japan, they sent these rovers to this asteroid and they landed it. The purpose is to gather data. It's also meant to demonstrate that bots can explore in low gravity environments. And there's actually photos that they posted online. The very first initial photos that came back. They're a little blurry. Like, I'm looking at one, and the lighting's not all that great, but you have what looks like a very rocky terrain. If you wanted to guess what an asteroid looks like from space, like you were standing on it, it's exactly how you'd think it would look. You've ever seen the pictures from Mars where it's just all a bunch of red and rocks and things? It's like that, except black and white, and you're just assuming everything there is gray. So the two tiny robots successfully landed on the asteroid, and it happened over the weekend. They waited until Saturday to confirm it. So the two tiny rovers landed. Engineers with the agency deployed the robots early Friday, but JAXA waited until Saturday to confirm the operation was successful and that both rovers made it safely. They posted a couple of photos. They posted one of the descent that was a little blurry, and then they posted one of actually it on the surface of this. And it's really cool. I mean, it looks exactly like Mars, except it's probably gray and it's in black and white, but it only has like a very limited scope of what they're seeing. So it's super dark up there, and you have the light, and it's only going as far as the light will show. There's some pretty distinct shadows that you really can't see past. The agency still has more deployments, two of which. And what they're going to do is send even more rovers and even bigger rovers to get more of a idea of what this asteroid is all about. I think this is awesome. I love the idea. And for the longest time, we've been trying to figure out how to harness things from outside of our solar system to explore. And, you know, it's difficult because we are not able to send human life to other stars to explore other planets. You know, we still have yet to set a person on Mars, and we will in the next, well, at least my lifetime, they're going to have people on Mars. Probably in the next 15 years, they're going to send people to Mars. You know, they're planning the missions. Elon Musk wants to send people there too. But I just don't ever see us leaving our solar system and putting a person on a different planet somewhere else outside of our solar system. The next closest thing you can do is check out those things that have been shot into our solar system. So there's a lot of these asteroids that are traveling and going around, and we can normally tell if it's something from within our solar system or if it was something that was brought in from the outside. If we can put rovers on those things, it's almost like getting a taste of what it's like outside of our solar system, and that is really exciting because we don't have the technology to go do it out where the asteroids are coming from. Hey, how about we study the things that are here on this planet, or at least coming to this, close to this planet? It's a really smart way to do it. And I don't know what they're going to discover from that. Who knows what kind of elements are going to be on this thing? Who knows what they're going to find out? Who knows if they're going to find evidence of anything on this? But I'm pretty excited about it all. I don't think there's any way you're going to find anything lifelike on it. Of course, it's, you know, there's no atmosphere, there's no gravity on this thing. So it's really, there's no way anything could live on it. But man, they can still try to get an idea of what this thing's made of. It's pretty exciting that we can compare it to the elements that we have here on Earth, get an idea of what the, you know, breakdown is. Is it more of this than what we'd expected, less of this? Maybe we'll find something else on it. You never know. I got one other space story I want to share with you. So NASA has started to talk about its defense program that it's trying to establish. So we have the Space Force that's being established. What are we going to do if there's a giant asteroid that's going to smash into this planet and doom all of our lives? You know, NASA has a plan for that. There's actually a three-point plan, three things they can do right now to prevent that from happening. I'm going to tell you what those three things are coming up next on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Well, here we are yet again. One last break before we say goodbye till tomorrow. Goodbye. NASA has a plan just in case a giant asteroid is going to smash into our planet. Yeah, they have actually a three-point plan, three different things they can do. And it has nothing to do with Aerosmith. Da-da-da-da-da. Nothing to do with Aerosmith. Oh, there's that giant asteroid headed towards Earth. Oh, what a nice music video. You know, that was the first time Aerosmith hit number one on the charts. Isn't that crazy to think about it? It's a band that had so many great songs. Took them forever to make it to the top of the charts. So Lindsey Johnson, who first published a paper on the asteroid threat as an Air Force Major 94, called a recent 2-kiloton meteor strike in Greenland a cosmic wake-up call. Says it's planning the first ever demonstration to knock one off course, but the funding is in limbo. So the idea is the best thing we can do is fund these experiments. And what we'll do is we'll send a rocket up and we'll impact the rocket onto the asteroid at a certain angle and speed that it knocks it off course. So the key is we need to identify these things from far away. Because even if you just knock it off a half a degree, if it's far enough away, it'll miss the Earth. Because that half a degree will push it way off course after a long period of time. Because you're talking about, you know, millions and millions of miles away. The Trump administration recently increased the budget for NASA's Planetary Defense Coordination Office from $60 million to $150 million amid growing concerns that humanity is unprepared for the unlikely but still unthinkable asteroid strike. Just like Aerosmith. You think that President Trump listened to that song and was inspired? You know, during the Obama administration, they cut a lot of money from NASA. So it's good to see them getting their funding, even if they're planning on doing a test where they can put a rocket up there and try to knock an asteroid off course to see if it makes that big of an impact. If we can maneuver it in such a way up in space that it'll be impactful to make it stop an impact here. So a former Air Force officer, Lindsey Johnson, and this is according to Politico who wrote this up, serves as the space agency's planetary defense officer. Man, what an awesome title. I would give out cards to everyone I knew. Like, if here's a card. Oh, what's your name? Well, I'm an Air Force planetary officer. It's pretty cool. So NASA's been looking into this for two decades, and they got a plan. So let me read some of these plans to you, what they'll do. So he says there's almost 950 objects larger than a kilometer in size in near-Earth orbits, and we believe the population of asteroids, 140 meters or larger, is about 25,000 to date. They found about 8,300 asteroids larger than 140 meters. So they're tracking a lot of stuff up there. We got a lot of stuff. You know, and sometimes them getting close is within 30,000 million miles from Earth's orbit. And even that is kind of close. Grand scheme of things, you look at the distance between Earth and the moon, it's pretty far away. You know, you see maps and it makes it look like the moon is really close to the Earth and it orbits super close. You're like, wow, when the space station, they got to be close to the moon while they're up there. No, they're actually very, very far away. To illustrate that, imagine that the Earth is the size of a basketball. Is it, 25 feet away? You have to put your fist from that basketball in order to illustrate how far away the moon is. And that's basically what it is to scale. That's pretty far. So here's what they would do if they deemed a threat. There's been several studies on what they could do. The most reliable methods are based upon basically one simple principle. They need to change the velocity of the asteroid by a fraction of a percent. If they do that far enough ahead of time, they can knock it out of the way and they don't have to send up a Bruce Willis. Miss you, baby. That's nice. They don't have to send Bruce Willis up for that. They can just send up a rocket, probably SpaceX or something like that, and knock it off course way ahead of time. That's number one. for the purpose of the Planetary Defense Program. They got a budget of $150 million. It'll cost about $98 million to do this test. So they know they're going to be spending a lot of their money to do this test, but it's going to be worth it. It'll be well worth it because once they get up there and start doing this sort of thing, they'll know if this is a viable way to defend our planet. Again, America to the rescue. Another idea come along is that, well, you could increase the mass of the spacecraft after it got there, as in go up and use these arms in order to try to take giant rocks off of it, and basically you're like picking it off. So when you start picking these giant boulders and rocks off this asteroid, you're changing its weight and its mass. And once you start changing its weight and mass, eventually it's going to knock it off course, right? Because it's not going to continue in the same fashion. You could change its trajectory that way. The third one could be the Armageddon way of doing things, which is send Bruce Willis up and try to detonate the thing. And they said that's not necessarily the best way to do it, mostly because you're going to get a buckshot. Basically, think of a shotgun shell going off, and you're just going to get a bunch of little pellets going out there. That's number three option, but at least you could probably handle a lot of smaller ones than a catastrophic one giant asteroid that's going to destroy all of mankind. So there's three different ways they're going to do it. So think of that, $90 million we're going to spend of your taxpayer money to go up and see if we can save the Earth yet again. Go ahead. We need to play that song from Moana. You're welcome. That's what America's going to have to sing to the rest of the world. Da, 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 da. You're welcome for saving your planet again. Da, 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 da. We got to get the Rock in here to do that song. You're welcome for knocking that asteroid away. Da, 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 da. There's some potential for that. I'd love to see a Disney movie where they're singing like that. All right, that about does it here for Overnight America. We had a little fun towards the end, but yeah, that's their plan. That's kind of cool, right? If you have a podcast app on your phone, just take the 3 minutes. It takes 3 minutes for you to look up Overnight America, and when you find it, hey, cool, subscribe to us. And we offer all of our shows for free, so you can go back and listen to anything we're doing on Overnight America, because we post it basically after the hour's over. Within like the next half hour, it's up, so you can download and listen to it later, or better yet, share it with a friend. Say, hey, have you checked out this show yet? I know you're sleeping at night. Hey, how about you check it when you're driving in the car, the Overnight America? You know, we got all of our shows here from KMOX. You can check out Mark Reardon, Charlie Brennan, Total Information, all of them. And if you have an iPhone, better yet, I need just three more people to give us another great review on iTunes. So go to the podcast app on your iPhone. It takes 3 minutes for you to search Overnight America. Just give us a 5-star review. Just need three more people. Seriously, stop scrolling for a couple of minutes and do it. We appreciate it. Have a good night. We'll see you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.